Let's just pray together, shall we? Father, I just want to thank you for bringing every one of us here this morning. The youngsters, and perhaps even the not so young. Thank you that even eventually we managed to get Margaret here this morning. And we just want to praise your name for the ministry of your word as it goes forth to all of us today. Father, I just want to ask, Lord, that it be less of us and more of you. Less and less of us and more of you. You are our Father, you are our God, and we want to worship you today. Help us as we've been singing, help us as we've been praying, help us, Lord, just to open our hearts and engage with you today. And perhaps also to learn how to engage with each other. Oh, Father, be with us, I pray. Those in the Sunday school, those teaching the Sunday school, guys, and those perhaps who are listening on the web, others who perhaps are on holiday, it doesn't matter where you are in the world, Lord, we just want to engage with you this morning. So bless our hearts, I pray. In Jesus' wonderful name. I'm sorry, I do have a few notes. You might have thought I was standing up here and it was going to be from the heart, but it is going to be from the heart, but it's also going to be from what I've written down. We're carrying on with our theme of engage, as you've already heard, but you can see that I've sort of underlined one or two extra phrases up there. Engaging with one another, committed to unity, all one in Christ. Well, what a month. What a month. We've had two baptisms. Not one, but two. We've had a dedication. Oh, it's been great, hasn't it? Two dedications. I'll get that right one day. We've also had two elections. Uproar in the Commons. So much so they've all had to go on holiday to get over it. We've had the Prime Minister's resignation, and we don't know who's going to be PM. I think at the last count there were 12 people standing. And Trump has proposed, what's his name? Oh, Johnson, yes, Boris. And we still wait for Anna's babe. I don't know where Joe's hiding now, but I saw him earlier. I asked him if he'd bought a wheelbarrow along this morning, but he said he hadn't. I don't think we'll be waiting that much longer. Okay, Joe. If ever you wanted evidence of just how divided our country has become, then the events of the past month lay it all before you. At all so many different levels. I've heard it said, wherever you look, there are issues of race, issues of class, colour, social status, and they have become the dividing lines that prevent unity and progress in our world. But I want to make another statement here this morning. In contrast, I know that the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ, demonstrates unity. It leads to reconciliation between you and God and you and me with each other. And it shows that healing is possible. And so I say, the key to the country's problems, to this division that I've just outlined, is not to depend upon a politician, not to depend upon anyone like yourselves, or one another, or the so-called intellectuals of the day, but rather to look to Father, to look to Jesus and his promises. There's a passage in Scripture that spells it all out. And if you've got a Bible, then turn with me to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. This is a revised NIV version that I'm reading from. You'll see why in a moment. Can we go to the next slide? So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God. Through faith. All children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Amen. The only changes there are the fact that it doesn't refer to man or woman as such. It's a generalized children of God. You see, the truth is that the gospel frees us from those dividing lines of race, of class, etc. But don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that the lines are not present and there's nothing to be done. There is much, much more to do. What Scripture is saying is that because of Christ's work on the cross, unity, reconciliation, and healing is possible. And how much of that we actually receive is dependent upon our beliefs in the Lord Jesus, our willingness to trust in him, and our acceptance that it is God's desire for diversity, especially in his church, including here in Brentwood. Father, his message and the death of his son really is the glue that holds us all together. Slide 3, please. The Apostle Paul is writing these words that we read to the church at Galatia, who, while at one stage, fully embraced what Paul had taught them when he was there. But they had become entangled with the idea that it, to be really accepted by God, you needed also to conform to the Jewish culture, to the Jewish tradition, to the Jewish laws. Easily done. Some would say, well, Jesus was a Jew. Oh, that's true, he was. So that's got to be our standard to which we all behave and conform, right? Absolutely wrong, is what I say. Yes, Jesus was a Jew. And yes, up until then, there was a law. But the very fact that Jesus came on this earth, the very fact that he had to die upon that cross, changed the whole of society, changed the whole of our outlook. There is neither Jew nor Greek. Let's be clear, the Old Testament shows us just how hopeless the idea of having to follow the Jewish tradition became. It never helped anyone to get themselves right with God, Jew or Gentile. We are all saved by grace through faith and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are all one in Christ Jesus. We all belong to Christ. We are from Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. But the subtlety of the deceivers is very clever. And you can get drawn into it very, very easily. I've got a little demonstration I'd like to show. I'm going to have to put that back in there, which makes a bit of noise because I need both hands. Can you hear me? Right. I have a friend who wanted to celebrate the football match last night. You wouldn't be at all surprised that I would have a friend who wants to celebrate the football match. But by virtue of me wearing all white, you might understand that he was a Spurs fan. And you might accept and understand that everybody he invited, he expected to wear a Spurs shirt. Well, I've got a white shirt, but because I don't support Spurs, it doesn't have the right motif on the top here. But I turned up for this meeting, for this celebration. Oh, dear, and I got it wrong. Because guess what I turned up in? You're all going to expect me to get a West Ham shirt out, aren't you? Ah, oh, well. I turned up in a bright red jumper. Oh, they're Liverpool's colours. who won the cup last night, incidentally. You see, I had my invitation. I didn't sort of twig that it was going to be all about Spurs. That was silly. I ought to have twigged. I did know the result. I really didn't want to wind people up. No, not me. But I turned up in my red jumper. I had my invitation, the meal was paid for, but I was the only one in red. I went to sit down at the table, and then it wasn't long before somebody said, "Hold on, hold on, you can't wear that here. You're not welcome." You must wear the right shirt. Well, you can imagine the outcome. I'm not going to go into too many details. It was a bit too bloodthirsty for that. It took the host of the party to come and sit next to me and to intervene. He suggested I took the jumper off. Unfortunately, I had a white shirt on. He said, "Come and sit next to me." Because I've invited you. And I want you to stay. Jesus says, the gospel is open to all. And differences between each of us are to be welcomed. Not looked down upon, not criticized, not thrown out, but actually welcomed. Got it? Do you get the point? Good. Change the slide, please. This is exactly what the gospel stands for. It invites everyone to the table. It's Paul's words here that says, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave or free, male or female. You are all one in Christ. Jesus has invited you. He has paid for you to attend the meal. Come and take your seat. Does that mean we forget our differences? Does that mean we forget our cultures and we have to follow something else? Does that mean we forget our values? Absolutely not. What it does mean is that these differences should not separate us from God or from each other. The gospel does not say that your differences doesn't matter. But what it does say is that despite our differences, we can still sit down together and enjoy our diversities. We are all one in Christ. After all, you didn't get saved because of your colour any more than I did. You did not get saved because of the money that you have in the bank account any more than I have. Well, I've never got any money in a bank account, so it doesn't matter. You didn't get saved because of your educational record and how many exams that you pass. That's no excuse to youngsters here who've got exams this week. Keep working. It's not about any of those. It's about us as people. You and me. It's all about being loved. It's all about being accepted. It's all about sharing and engaging with one another. Praying together. Encouraging each other, helping each other, being concerned for each other, putting others first. That's what being a Christian is all about. That's what growing in the Christian life is all about. That's what we call engagement with Christ and with each other. Slide 5, please. Now, I could, and perhaps should, go into technical references and undo these words that we've talked about. And I've looked at some of the verses. I've got John 13, John 15, Romans 13, and another 10 references that I could pull up and we could pull apart. But there's just one thing I want to point out and one story I want to finish with. You'll all be pleased to hear. Margaret's already asleep. Oops, no, she's woke up. If you go through those words in Galatians, there is one word that's mentioned 3 times. It's not a very long word, just 3 letters. The word all. You and I know that when God writes something down, he never misses a point. He always chooses his words very carefully. So when he uses it twice, the same word, you've got to take notice. And when he uses it 3 times, you're an absolute fool if you don't take notice. And that passage in Galatians has the word all 3 times. Let's read it again. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God. Through faith, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ. Get the point? I looked up in the Oxford Dictionary what the word all meant. And the definition says the whole quantity. And what it means by that is all of us. There isn't one person to be left out. Doesn't matter if you're sitting in a box at the back there or if you're standing up at the front here. All of us are included. Don't miss that out. We are all one in Christ Jesus. We all have the opportunity to engage with Father. And he invites us to do that this morning. I just want to finish with this story. It's a true story. It's about me. Got to finish with me, haven't I? One of the jobs, and I've had a few jobs down through the years, one of the jobs that I had was working as a warden to a bow hostel in East London. Now, most of you here would never have heard of what a bow hostel is. You might know what a hostel is. It's where people who have got no home would stay. A bow hostel usually means that you're sent to that place to stay by a court or a police judgment of some sort. And one of the jobs I had was to run such a place. It usually meant that we had people staying with us for anything from a few days to several months. Some of them would eventually appear at court, their case would finally be dealt with, and they'd be on their way out of court, back to whatever it was they were doing, or on their way to prison. You never knew what was going to happen. But often you would be asked by the judge, how they were doing at the hostel. Had they behaved? Well, to a point. Had they done everything that was expected of them? Could you trust them? Could you take them at their word? Well, I had one such person. This will amuse you. I had one such person who had been an ideal resident at the hostel. You asked him to do something and you could actually forget it because he would do it. However much it was, however nasty it was, usually cleaning up somewhere. And he was up on a fairly nasty charge. And it wasn't going to get dealt with on the day. He was going to get bailed again back to the hostel if I agreed to take him. And I went along. There was also the chance that if I said no, he would get put into prison until his charge was heard. Well, on this occasion, I went along to the court with this guy. We were kept hanging around all day at the court for a 5-minute hearing. Well, he got bailed back to the hostel. We eventually got back to the place at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We were both starving. And one of the things that we've been talking about is actually going out to buy some fish and chips. Because we knew that the catering section at the hostel would be closed by now. Lunch was finished. So, like a fool, I had a number of phone calls to make, and I said to this guy, and I can't remember his name now, I said to this guy, here's some money, go and get the fish and chips. Knowing that the fish and chip shop was 300 yards, metres, whatever you want to call it, up the road, out the door of the hostel, turn right, walk along the road, and you couldn't miss it. I gave him the money, didn't I? I'm still waiting for my fish and chips. All these many years later. They're a bit cold by now, I would have thought. Never saw him again. He took the money and ran. Well, good luck to him. I knew he'd probably get caught somewhere along the line. But there was a lesson learned together. And what I used to therefore do, if we ever found ourselves in that position again, and that was fairly regular, at least once a week, when we got back to the hostel, we would have a sandwich together. We would make it together. You know? We'd rifle the larder and cause upset with the cooks. Always got my fingers smacked. Get something out, make a sandwich. And I always made a point from that day onwards that when we got back and we made the sandwiches, I didn't just say thank you and disappear. I'd sit down and we would eat our sandwiches together. The stories, the history, and everything else that came out at those meetings, those times, were invaluable because I got to learn about so much more of the person. They got to hear about me. They got to hear about West Ham. It's what you would call engaging with each other. Do I make the point? Do I make the point? You're probably fed up with me waffling on. That's what I'm going to finish with this morning, is just to actually say that as a fellowship together, we need to demonstrate our unity. We need to honour each other. We need to be loving each other. We need to be engaging with each other, taking the opportunity when it's there, and sharing Christ together, praying together, seeing where He leads us. Heavenly Father, I just pray now that as we come together and we realize that we are all one in Christ Jesus, that we don't miss out on anything, but rather we take on all that you have for each of us, and that we learn to share, we learn to give, we learn to embrace, we learn to engage. In Jesus' precious name.